Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and he looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead.
Thank you very much. It's quite an action-packed scene, isn't it? I don't know if you noticed, there was lots of running. But it tells us who was involved and sets the background for what happened next. We're not really going to study it in detail. Just going to pick out a few salient points, really. The first person who was there was Mary Magdalene. I've got an egg left. Oh, sorry. That's why no one's answering my questions. They're afraid to get an egg in the eye. Mary Magdalene, rather than all the other Marys who were there. Mary was there on Good Friday. She saw Jesus put on the cross. She watched. Matthew's account also says that she, not only that, but when Joseph and Nicodemus took the body of Jesus down from the cross and wrapped it and put it in that tomb, Mary was sat there watching. And then now it's early Sunday morning and she's come back to sort out the body properly. Probably think those men, what do they know? I'll do the proper thing. She's brought some spices to anoint the body of Jesus. But when she gets there, she sees that the stone has been moved away. And in her panic, she doesn't stop and investigate further, but she runs. She runs back to where the disciples are and she tells Peter and John. So then they run back to the tomb. It says that John got there first. He maybe was younger or a bit fitter than Peter, I don't know. But he got there first. He could see there were linen strips inside the tomb, but he didn't go in. Then Peter arrives, and maybe in typical Peter fashion, he doesn't stop to think. He just charges straight in, and he looks all around. And apparently the word that he uses for see is different to what Mary had seen in the first place, or John had seen. They saw, they observed, they noticed what had happened. The stone had gone. There was linen in the strips in the tomb. Peter does something different. He inspects it. He looks carefully. He scrutinizes it. He satisfies himself that the body of Jesus really has gone. And then John goes inside as well. And it says that he saw and believed. And that's a third different word, apparently, in the Greek for seeing. It's beyond just the simple use of his eyes. He sees. I see. He realized, he comprehended what he was looking at. At least he believed that Jesus was gone. He believed that Jesus was raised. He didn't really understand yet how or why. But they all saw exactly the same thing, didn't they? But they saw different things. What do you see when you see the empty tomb? You can look at that, you can maybe say, oh, there's a person there and there's sort of a head here and they're carrying a bundle and don't worry about that. What about this one? Oh, what do you see? That was the question. Look at this picture here. You may have seen it before, but in the middle here, there's three little black dots. Can you see those? I want you to stare at those. Don't look at anything else. Just stare at those three black dots for about 30 seconds. If you can't do it from where you are, children, feel free to come up to the front. I think you probably can see. Just stare at those three dots. Four dots. Don't look at anything else. And now close your eyes. Can you see anything? I can. It's weird. Can anyone see anything? You sort of blink while your eyes are closed. Did anyone see anything? What do you see? Keith? Did anyone else see what looked like a picture of Jesus? Isn't that strange? I'm not quite sure how it works. It's your brain being fooled by the black and the white and things, I think. But some people can see Jesus when they look at that. Some people can't. That's just because we're wired differently. Our eyes or our brains behave differently. But that's just like life. Some people see Jesus. Some people don't get it. Maybe it depends where you look. We're going to think a bit further as we have our second part of our reading. But before we do that, we've got another song. But isn't that great? Christ arose. And that's what we're celebrating this morning. Gabriel, part two of the reading, please.
Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in there, in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary," and she turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Seems like Peter and John didn't stop to talk to Mary after they looked in the tomb and seen that the body was gone. And it seems like they just left her there at the tomb. She wasn't understanding. She was crying in grief. The word means sort of wailing. And she was going, she was bawling her eyes out because she was so sad. And now she too looks down into the tomb and sees two angels. But such is her grief. So sad she is. She doesn't freak out at the sight, but maybe she didn't even fully take in what she was seeing. And they ask her, "Why are you crying?" And her response shows the depth of feeling that's racking her whole body. "They've taken my Lord away." Whoever they are, presumably the authorities, she's thinking. They've taken the body of Jesus to who knows where. And even the wonder of seeing two angels wasn't enough to satisfy her aching heart. She turned away unanswered and becomes aware there's someone else standing there. Someone else who asks her the same question, "Why are you crying?" But follows it up with a second question, "Who is it you are looking for?" Who is it you are looking for? And that's our key question this morning, because we've been having a short series on the questions that Jesus asked people. And this is the last one in the series. And Jesus says to Mary, "Who is it you're looking for?" Mary still doesn't recognise him, thinks it must be a gardener or something. Maybe the tears clouding her eyes stopped her seeing properly. Perhaps because it was similar to the question she'd just been asked by the angels, she didn't stop and think properly. Or maybe for some reason in that brief moment he looked different to how he'd been before, or maybe she was otherwise kept from recognising him, as happened to two other people later on who saw Jesus on the Emmaus Road that same day. But whatever, her answer is implied rather than direct. "I'm looking for Jesus. I'm looking for my Lord. If you know where his body is, please tell me so that I can go and get it and put it back in the tomb where it belongs." I don't quite know how Mary thought she was going to do that on her own. That's no trivial challenge, is it? But of course it doesn't matter, because Jesus isn't going back into the tomb. Jesus is alive. And Mary realises that as soon as he says her name, Mary. Maybe it's the way he said it. Maybe it's something in the intonation that just brought back memories, instant recognition to her. And her deep grief was transformed into inexpressible joy. She still has to learn that things are going to be different now. The presence of Jesus has entered a new era, and she can't cling on to how things used to be. And Jesus sends her back to the other disciples with the news, not of his resurrection, because Peter and John had already seen that, but that she's seen him, she's spoken to him, and his ascension is coming into heaven. And the story carries on through the gospel. We're not looking at that today. But we're going to look at this question that Jesus asked. Who is it you are looking for? Why did Jesus ask her that? Wasn't it obvious? Well, why do we ask questions anyway? Sometimes because we need to know the answer. Right, what time's the next bus? How much are these things? When our son got married, he was in Wales, and half the people there were Welsh. So in his wedding speech, he started off with this fluent, well, probably wasn't that fluent, but this bit of Welsh. And all the Welsh side cheered and laughed, and the rest of us were going... Turns out he was saying one of his most important things he'd learned to say in Welsh, which is, where is the toilet? Sometimes we ask questions because we need to know the answers. Sometimes we ask questions because we're curious. We want to explore a topic. We want to learn how stuff works. I'm a bit like that, and it drives my wife mad. We're watching something on the telly, and I go, oh, how did they do that effect? What was that about? She just watched the programme. But sometimes it's because we're curious. I used to have a manager at work who, one of his favourite interview questions, when we had graduates coming in for interviews, he'd say to them, how many barbershops are there in the UK? Okay. I thought I was here for an electronic engineering interview. It doesn't matter how many barbershops there are. What he wanted to do was for them to think about the problem and how to solve it. Well, how many people are there? How often do you have your hair cut? And, you know, work through logically to come up with an answer. It didn't matter what the answer was. So sometimes we ask questions to test the understanding of other people or to encourage them to think through. And I wonder maybe if that's what Jesus is asking Mary, to test what she's really thinking. Who is it you're looking for to help her vocalise her deepest longing? After all, people might weep for many different reasons. Judas Iscariot was very distraught after betraying Jesus. Peter wept bitterly, it says, after he denied Jesus just before the crucifixion. So Jesus asks this question to try and tease out, think it through. What are you thinking? What's important? He takes, again, the two people on the road to Emmaus. He asks them, what are you discussing? What's on your mind? He knew full well. He wasn't trying to get information. He was trying to get them to think it through and realise what it is they were really seeking. And I think in Mary's case, that's why he asks, who is it you are looking for? And the answer comes from Mary that she wants to be reunited with her Lord. He is the one she's looking for. You know, we don't really know all that much about Mary. We know she came from this place called Magdala, which is why she was Mary Magdalene. We know she's in all four Gospels, but only in the account of the crucifixion and the account of the resurrection. And apart from that, the only other place we read of her is in Luke 8, where we first meet Mary from Magdala, who's one of a group of women following Jesus, along with the other disciples. We're told that she was released by Jesus from the enslavement of seven demons. And with the other women, she was helping to support Jesus and the other disciples from her own means. That's all we know. We don't know anything else about her. But clearly, what had happened in her past had served to bind her tightly to the Lord Jesus. In her gratitude, her service, her love that was deep enough to drive her to turn up at the crucifixion, to be there when Jesus was put to death, and to go along to the burial, to be in the garden. And now she doesn't understand what's happened. She knows the body is gone, but she can't tie that up with what Jesus had said would happen after his death. I don't know why she didn't get it. Oh, isn't it easy to criticise because we know the ending. We know what happened. If you can just imagine yourself in that situation, how bewildering that first Easter morning. But anyway, Mary's eyes were opened to see that the one she was really looking for was there, and life in all its fullness could begin right there and then. It was a big question that Jesus asked Mary, who is it you are looking for? But there's an even more important question this morning, because Jesus says to you, who is it you are looking for? If you're looking for someone who won't rock the boat or make any demands on how you live, then you're not. Don't look for Jesus. If you're looking for someone who will turn a blind eye to your ungodly choices or actions, to say, oh, that doesn't matter, it's okay, then that's not Jesus. If you're looking for someone who could be moulded to fit into your plans, your choices, your worldview, that's not Jesus. But if you're looking for someone who is powerful and capable, then John's Gospel says that through him, through Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. If you're looking for someone who can show you what God is like, Hebrews says the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. If you're looking for someone who can deal with your mistakes, make you right with God, Hebrews again, Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. If you're looking for someone who's consistent, who doesn't change with the seasons, with the fashions, with the times, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13. Are you looking for someone who will care for and protect you? Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Are you looking for someone to guide you through a dark and troubled world? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Maybe you're looking for someone to provide peace and reassurance no matter what happens. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Looking for someone you can believe and trust to lead you through all that life throws at you. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Looking for someone who understands what you're going through. Book of Hebrews again. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet did not sin. Or looking for someone who can give you confidence, even beyond death. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. I just picked out a few verses from just two books in the Bible. There are many, many more. But who is it you are looking for? His name is Jesus. He's Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. He's Jesus Christ who died, more than that, who was raised to life and is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us, as Paul wrote. This morning, let that question be on your mind. Who is it that I'm really looking for? I pray that you will hear his voice asking you that question. And may you realize and acknowledge that he is the one you've been looking for. Because our hope is found in Christ alone. We're going to stand and sing that song together.
Thank you.
Risen Lord, we praise you for the empty tomb, that death could not hold you, and that you arose to new life. Help us to see you afresh today and this week, and to realise that it is you we need to seek with all our hearts. And may the grace of the word of life rest upon you, the source, love of the source of life embrace you, and the transforming power of the breath of life help strengthen and fill you this day and all your days. Amen.